The first line from this short section to Paul's letter to Timothy informs us of many things. St. Paul says to Timothy, bear your sufferings for the gospel. Bear your sufferings for the gospel. And hold that in your mind as we go through this vision, this reality of the transfiguration that we hear today in Matthew's gospel. Bear your sufferings for the gospel. Because I think if we begin to place ourselves with Jesus today, as he goes up the mountain, as he is transfigured before us, and as he commands us to follow him, that bearing of our sufferings is something that helps us to understand who we are called to be and how we are called to be as sons and daughters of the living God. Because Jesus is going up the mountain after he announces to his disciples, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be tortured, and I'm going to be killed for your sake and the sake of the world. And what is the disciples' response to this? Well, in one of the Gospels, Peter says to him, Jesus, don't talk that way. It scares us a little bit, and we like the better part, you know, like when you're curing all these people and doing all these nice things. And Jesus' response to him is, get behind me, Satan. And today, Jesus, after he announces that, says to James and Peter, James and John, follow me up the mountain. Now, I'm always thinking, what are the other nine thinking about at this point? Why didn't we get invited up the mountain? Or was it, whew, we get a day off. This is going to be great. While they're up there doing some work, we're going to be down here and we're going to get a couple extra hours of sleep. Thanks be to God. No daylight savings time in Jesus' time, right? Right? But you know, did they or were they asked when Jesus said, okay, while we're up there, down here, continue teaching, continue sharing the gospel message. But anyway, James, Peter, James, and John are following Jesus up this mountain. Now, that's another thing that we think about. Do we ever think about Jesus climbing mountains? He goes up mountains a lot. Like, imagine Jesus scrambling up this mountainside because there aren't nice paths made by the Park Service, right? These are goat paths, sheep paths. They are walking up places where other people maybe not have gone for a long time. They're going up a mountain. And it's hard work. So maybe Peter, James, and John are kind of about halfway up saying, I wish he would have invited, you know, Simon and the other guys up here, Matthew and Judas the Zealot, right? Or someone else. But boy, this is hard work. And so they get to the top of the mountain. They do much what they do at other places. They begin to pray. That's what Jesus is up there to do. And then they have this great vision given to them, this transfiguration. They look up and they see Jesus in his glory. That God has sent the Spirit upon him, and he is seen transfigured. They know who he is, and yet he looks nothing as he does on earth. His clothes are dazzling white, white as light. And these two other guys are talking to him, Moses and Elijah. How they know they're Moses and Elijah, I don't know, right? Maybe it's because what they're saying to Jesus is echoing what they said as prophets, and these men know their scripture. And then they get this inspiration, at least Peter does. This is great. Let's stay here. Let's build some tents. Let's do the things that we want to do up here on the mountain. In other words, Peter says, let the people come to me. I don't want to have to go back down the mountain again. We're going to build the tents up here, and we're going to have people come to us because we're going to be able to show this great vision. Here is Jesus in his glory with Moses, who everybody likes, and Elijah, who everybody's expecting to come back. So this is going to be great. And then we hear the voice from the clouds. And it's this wonderful phrase that Matthew uses. They are overshadowed by a bright cloud. Kind of one of those paradoxes, shadowed by brightness. And we hear the voice that we've heard already once in the gospel. This is my beloved son. This is where that phrase from St. Paul's letter to Timothy becomes so important, because we've heard that phrase when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Anybody know what happens next? The Spirit leads him into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and to be tempted. He is overshadowed by the Spirit. God's voice says, "This beloved son, listen to him." Where is the Spirit leading him now? To Jerusalem, where he will die on the cross. Now, is that good news? It's great news. Because why is Jesus doing this? He's doing this out of love, of course. He invites us into that relationship of love with God, a relationship of love that deals with the human condition in an intimate and in a joyous and life-giving way. Because as our Holy Father Francis has said, and as every pope has said throughout history, if you take suffering away from love, if you take sacrifice away from love, if you take the forgiveness and mercy away from love, then you do not have love anymore. And you certainly do not have Christianity as we know it, and as we believe it is in our lives. Jesus' invitation to his disciples at this moment isn't to stay on the mountain where it's safe and nice and we have these beautiful, as our author says in Refresh Renew Our Life, these aha moments like, "Ooh, this is great. I love God." But Jesus' invitation is, come down and follow me. Follow me back down the mountain where I will be arrested, tortured, and crucified. Because without that, there is no resurrection. Without that, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without that, there is no mercy. Without that, there is no compassion, no love, no joy, no blessing that comes from a relationship of love. Because love entails being with another who's not perfect, who's not always the best person, the best version of themselves. Someone who needs compassion, mercy, forgiveness, who needs to be held during suffering, who needs to be blessed during times of sorrow and stress, who needs to be celebrated in joy during those times of grace and life and love. That is the truth of what Jesus is inviting us today to follow him. Because he says to the disciples, come down with me to the mountain. Come down with me to the people again. And don't tell them about what you saw up there. One of those impossible things that Jesus asks us to do. Because I don't want people believing in simply the miracles, the aha moments. I want people to be with me even in the moments of suffering and death. Something even the apostles didn't get until the resurrection. Something that we continue to live through. That is why the gift of mercy and reconciliation is such a part of our Christian faith. Because we fail spectacularly sometimes. But we fail. We sin. And yet God's mercy and love says, even there I will be with you. Even there I will bring you up to the mountain. Even there I will bless you. Even there I will love you. Even there I will gather my people. And so we are gathered this day to hear his good news, to receive him, and to carry him into the world. To carry him into the world so that we might bear our sufferings for the gospel. That we might bear the love of God to those who suffer, to those who persecute us, to those who laugh at us, to those who love us passionately and deeply for the gospel, not for myself, but for him on the cross. Not for myself, not because it makes me feel good, but because God commands us. Jesus lives us and invites us to walk with him. So we walk with him in this great communion feast. We walk with him in the great joy of living our lives. We walk with him always and everywhere. And we walk with him in love.